I'm never going to say that to my kids. I'm never going to discipline my kids the way that I was disciplined. Probably many of us have said things like that only to catch ourselves saying the same things that were said to us. Perhaps some of you experienced abuse at the hands of your parents, and certainly you are committed to never perpetuating that on your children. But many of us were like I was when I returned home from college. I was absolutely amazed at how much my parents had learned while I was gone. I think that perhaps there is always a certain level of mystery for children when they are disciplined. They don't understand sometimes the reason for the rules. And if they violate the rules and receive consequences as a result, instead of appreciating the reproof, the correction, the punishment that they might receive, they become angry and sometimes even rebellious. It's interesting to me as I read from Hebrews chapter 12 that this passage takes all that under consideration. In verse 9 it says, "We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them." I might add, maybe we didn't respect them so much at the time of the discipline, but we came to understand later, and then we respected them. The writer of the book of Hebrews wants us to come to a similar understanding of how God disciplines us. And so he admonishes us and says, "Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives." And then there is an interesting statement to me that is made in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 12, in which he says, "Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to talk with you for just a moment about the fact that we must endure the discipline that God has planned for us in order to find the kind of healing that God wants us to have. Now, the first observation that I would make in relationship to that is that there is a need for healing. Maybe that's the most important realization that we need to come to. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, "A man's way is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." And then in the next verse, there is an appeal made to God that says, "Correct me, O Lord." Not very many of us are in the business of asking for correction. One of the reasons why that is we don't realize we need it. Therefore, we're not realizing that we are sick and in need of healing. We think that we've got it all sewed up, that we know the direction of our life, and that's not what Jeremiah is saying for sure. He's saying, "I don't know. And Lord, help me to understand and comprehend," or in the language that might be used from Hebrews chapter 12, "Lord, discipline me." You know, when we're children, we don't recognize the need for correction. And a lot of times when it comes, we're just ready to rebel against it. We're ready to reject the correction. And I'm afraid that sometimes as the people of God, that's the way we are. And I think that perhaps that's the reasoning behind or the thinking that the Hebrew writer has. He wants us to recognize that our Father loves us and He disciplines us for our good. And when you're immature, it's hard to recognize that, is it? I think that sometimes we just need to realize that there's some mystery associated with discipline. And that stems from our immaturity or our lack of understanding. Maybe it's because we, as children, as the immature, just do not see the big picture. You know, it's interesting to me that parents have this ability, because perhaps of their experiences or whatever, to see things that could happen with certain kinds of behaviors. And so what they want to do is to help their children to recognize and to become insightful about the possibility of bad things happening with these certain kinds of behaviors. And, you know, the other night this was brought to my attention right in our living room. Cohen, of course, has just turned one. And Ella just turned three. Now, they were roughhousing there on the living room floor, and of course Ella is quite a bit bigger than Cohen, and he's just little, and she's rolling on him and all of that kind of thing, and so he kind of pulls loose, as big a kid as he is, and climbs up in the chair there in the living room. Well, he's climbed up on the stool and then up on the seat, and he's standing there holding to the back of the chair. Well, Ella comes over, just grabs him by the shirt, and pulls him out of the chair backwards. Well, you know, my response to that involves some level of anxiety, fear, because I recognize that, you know, he could break his arm, he could fall out of there backwards and actually break his neck, be paralyzed for the rest of his life, if something worse doesn't happen and he's killed in the process. But, you know, she doesn't have any awareness of any of that. Now, she realized when she saw my response that she definitely had done something wrong. But no awareness. As parents, we can see what the potential problems with this is. And I think that sometimes as the people of God, as children in the family of God, we don't understand what our Father understands. We can't see what He's trying to prevent us from experiencing and thus bringing us into discipline in order to avoid severe consequences. And so this text in verse 12 talks about these hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. He says, make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but instead be healed. The Father is trying to bring healing, and we don't even recognize that we need any healing. You know, as Aaron has mentioned, as we studied this morning in these Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that recognize their spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are those who mourn, those that recognize their sin and are mourning for it. These are the ones that will be comforted. In other words, through the discipline of the Lord, they are brought to a state of healing. We don't think a whole lot about that. Our idea is we've got all this all sewed up. And that's just a reflection of our immaturity. If you look there in Hebrews chapter 12 in verses 1 and 4, the need for the healing is evident because it indicates that what we're doing is we're struggling against sin. Its consequence is death. Our Father knows more about the consequences and the seriousness of our situation than we do. It's obvious in this text that He considers it as the most serious matter. How do you say that, you say? Well, notice in the text, It indicates that he has sacrificed his son to save us from the consequences of sin. That must mean that what he's doing here is the most important and most serious of matters. He's serious about saving us and will do radical things that we might avoid the severity of our situation. Not only did he sacrifice his son, but the text says he scourges every son whom he receives. And sometimes this discipline, ladies and gentlemen, is very severe. And the reason for the severity of it is based upon the love that he has for us, as well as the severity